Hi, Dan.
Hey, Jason.
Oh,
welcome back.
I am super jet lagged.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, Hawaii is 3 hours behind the West Coast during the summer. So I was 6 hours behind you, Dan, for 10 days. And we got back at 1:30 in the morning.
Ooh, good times.
Yeah. So that's this is what East Coasters have to deal with when they come back
from the
West Coast.
Which is
West
why
Coasters
I
don't have
never,
to deal with it.
I never take red eyes anymore if I fly to the West Coast. I always fly. I lose the day, but I figure I'm going to lose it anyways, and it feels much less crappy.
I think this is technically not a red eye since it was still plausibly when you'd be awake, I guess, plausibly. We didn't,
well, the
didn't
trick
sleep
there
on
is
the plane or anything.
Well, is the flight longer? It's 3 hours time difference. What's the flight back like? Is it like 6 hours?
Five hours.
Okay,
yeah,
so it's
five,
pretty close.
Five and
it's pretty close
hours,
to the same then. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but we left it at like 4, something like that, 4:30. But you have to add 3 hours in, so then.
Right, sure.
Anyway, what I'm saying is, I have not sat in this chair, like literally until about a minute before this podcast began. I had not sat in this chair or typed on a keyboard, a physical keyboard, or put, I had used my AirPods, but like put in my like in-ear headphones or talk in a microphone. None of those things. Looked at a Mac, looked at Mac OS for 10 days.
Well, a lot has changed, Jason.
Yeah.
Those 10 days.
What happened?
Really not. I mean, I was at a beach for a week.
Yeah, we can confirm that we both did actually do what we said we were doing last Friday.
Indeed.
We were both doing those things, turns out.
Yeah.
You never know.
I was only slightly more tapped in potentially. In fact, I think you wrote more stuff last week than I did. So
I did make a couple of link posts. The site had things in it and the newsletter had things in it, and that was really the goal because we both were on vacation, and that was right. Like I wrote, people were talking about my backup piece. That you're not backing enough. That like got handed around and was on Twitter and stuff. And I thought that was hilarious because I literally wrote it on a Friday before I was going to go because we left on the Monday. But and set it to post while I was gone just so I would have something. And then people were talking about it. And I'm like, hee-hee, it's like part of the conversation and I am not around for it, which is fine. Like it gives the impression that I am around for it. That was the beauty of it.
Yeah. So other than that, though, it's been remarkably quiet. I think I was noting that the latest developer betas dropped.
Saw that
2 days ago now, but there's been no public beta update, like corresponding with those yet, and unclear whether there will be, or you know, I'll show up next week, or maybe they'll skip, you know, kind of push it back and have two dev betas before a public beta. No one really knows. But I did take the opportunity to install the Monterey public beta on my MacBook Air. So I've been playing around with that.
Ah, you did it.
I did it. I took the plunge. I've got back from my trip, and I needed it during the trip because I needed to record stuff. But I figured now that I'm back, I have my iMac, and I am not going. I'm not going anywhere where I plan to take a computer and record podcasts in the foreseeable future. So I feel confident that I can do that and still get my work done without too much trouble. And it gives me an opportunity to really live with it for a little while, too.
That's good. I was thinking my mom may have surgery this summer, and so I'm not gonna do that yet. But I actually have to ask Apple. I believe I'm about at the end of my time with this iMac, but I can ask them to extend, and I'm going to do that because I can just use the iMac. I think that would be
plus
my preference.
The chatter I've heard mostly is people feeling like it's fairly stable. So, you know, you can never be sure, but, you know, it sounded pretty good. The biggest problems I've had right now is I've just been playing around with shortcut stuff, and a lot of that is very buggy, which is, to be expected.
So, am going to have to probably pull the trigger in the next couple of weeks and put it on my main iMac, but and switch to the thing where I'm using the MacBook Air as the recording device for all my podcasts. But I don't want to do that. I really don't want to do that until I absolutely have to. So I'm going to try.
I'm now on everything. Let's see. I guess I'm roughly half and half. I've got my MacBook, my iPad, and my phone all on the betas. My iMac and my watch and the Apple TV I leave as stable. The watch I'll probably take the jump at some point, but that one's, you can't really go back if you screw up something with a watch. It's a lot harder. So I'm always a little more cautious with that one. And the Apple TV gets used by people who are not me, so I don't want to annoy Kat by installing beta software and have it, you know, blow up when we're just trying to watch TV or something. Same with the HomePods, although my HomePods have been really annoying the last week or so. HomePods are like weather sometimes, Siri in general. Like sometimes it's like, oh, everything's very smooth. Everything's working fine. And then for unbeknownst reasons that you don't really understand, it's worse than the weather because it's really, I literally don't understand why. It's very slow to take requests. It takes forever to process them. And sometimes it just doesn't do stuff or doesn't hear. Why? I don't know. It's feeling its oats.
Yeah. Go figure. I can't, like, Siri, HomePod, I just, all that stuff is so variable. It's so strange. I'm actually hopeful that the on-device stuff that is coming will be the thing that makes it seem a little bit less like hocus pocus, because it'll be able to more rapidly process a bunch of stuff. And I'm hopeful that that will actually make it much more solid, right? Because I think that a lot of the problems are happening. I think there's a lot of loose connections between the cloud interpreting what you're saying, and like it would be nice if there was like a better, for lack of a better idea, a better preprocessor, a better kind of a wall on the device that was like, I'm going to take care of it here if I can, and then pass things on, and then what we have now. But I guess the proof is in the pudding, and who doesn't like pudding?
But only mad people.
Oh yeah. So I was happy to be on vacation. That was great. I assume that you likewise. I leaving my home to go somewhere for an extended period of time. It's been a long time, so I found it very restful and healing in a lot of ways. Even though now I'm, you know, blinking at this computer that's in front of me, thinking, oh right, what do I have to do now? I don't know. Stuff, yeah. Work.
I made the mistake of trying to troubleshoot some technical stuff while I was on vacation, and that was more of a set of stress.
I hope it wasn't networking related.
No, me trying to troubleshoot random networking stuff, never. Oh boy, that was a mistake. I tried to fix some Wi-Fi, and it realized that I was, I'm not gonna say I was in over my head so much as the system was much more complicated than I'd hoped. And what started as I can improve this experience for my gracious host ended up being, I hope I did not destroy anything.
I discovered it at our condo that the Wi-Fi was really unreliable. Mm-hmm, I thought that was strange. And then I think the second day we were there, I turned on the TV to watch the soccer, European soccer tournament, and ESPN was like, there was obviously a glitch in the signal that was causing the MPEG, you know, stream thing to break up. And I thought, okay, this is bad. So I like tried to tighten all the cable connections, and it didn't seem to do anything. And then I thought, well, the next thing you do with cables is you move them around.
Yeah.
You kind of
the ones on the splitter. Is wiggle, that what you did?
Like a little wiggle them around and stuff. And then all of a sudden ESPN was clear. And I thought, okay, nobody touched the cables, and the Wi-Fi, while not, you know, not spectacular, was more reliable after that too, because I figured
bad
it was also
cables.
An unreliable. Yep. I don't know.
I feel like bad cables is like one of those things like bad RAM, where it's like you feel like it's something that always, it never happens, and yet it does.
Or maybe it
like
always just happens and you just don't know.
Right, I guess. I mean, we were just talking, I mean, your backup piece too, talking about, I think, was that about Anthony's? Was that the jumping off point?
Yep.
Anthony Johnson's computer? Yeah, and so like he traced that problem down to bad RAM, and it's like, yeah, it does happen, but it is, I feel like it's also a boogeyman sometimes. Like, oh, maybe your RAM is bad, and it's like, well, no way to know except take it out and put it back in again.
Zap the PRAM.
Maybe that'll solve it. Zap that old PRAM, reset the SMC.
Yeah, and you can't tell. I mean, I tell people that when they often, this is the state of affairs of USB, often you get people saying, why doesn't this device work? Is it a software thing and all that? And I can't tell you how many times I've said, have you tried a different cable?
Yep.
And you know what? Sometimes it's not. But it's a shocking number of times where a different cable, whether it's a different USB cable or like for podcasting, sometimes it's a different XLR cable or for setting up a video device, a different HDMI cable. And sometimes that's it. And is it a bad cable? Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it's a cable with quirks that don't get, you know, in the way of doing business in these circumstances on these devices, whatever, but on this particular device in this particular incident, the quirk becomes catastrophic. Like, and that's not in the spec because of course it isn't. It's just a quirk. And sometimes it is literally a quirk of per device. I've definitely seen it.
Sure.
Yeah. Where like, this works, this cable works with this peripheral or whatever on every other Mac except this one.
Right.
And why is that? And the answer is there's either something quirky about the Mac or about the cable, and they don't go well together, and it doesn't make sense. So yeah, the cable thing, that's like right after turn it off and turn it back on.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, check.
Did you try other cables with it?
It's all about isolation, right? You're just trying to like get down to the point of like, what is the one thing that when I change, I may not be able to explain why the cable is bad, but I can narrow it down and eliminate other possibilities. It's the same thing with networking, right? Where you're like, well, I plug directly into the modem, right? Can I eliminate the problem then? And that establishes the problem is somewhere between the modem and my computer. And you just kind of narrow stuff down.
Yeah, that is a number one networking connectivity thing for people. Like if you're having problems on your network, the first thing to do is plug a computer directly into your cable modem or whatever.
Here's the worst part is that
did it go away?
This has gotten harder because none of my computers, especially the portable ones, have built-in Ethernet ports anymore.
Oh, I know.
So I need to have an adapter that I carry with me. I'm not even sure I have one.
I can point over to my left here. There's a USB-C to Ethernet adapter with an Ethernet plug plugged into it, just sitting there, that gets plugged into various devices from time to time. For that same reason. I'm also thinking, this is a little sidebar, I'm sure I'll talk about this more down the road, but right before I left, I decided that we were going to attempt to actually cut the cord and go to, still need a TV service, but going to an over-the-top TV service like Fubo or YouTube TV. But also, as a part of that, go to fiber because we have AT&T fiber in our neighborhood now. So I could go to gigabit fiber, which is fast. I have gigabit theoretically Comcast now, but down, but up is not. And so theoretically it would be faster, and I think I will save a lot of money. But the thing I'm dreading is, for the fiber, you basically have to use their hardware.
Their device, yeah.
And I'm using Comcast router now, but it's in bridge mode, and I'm not sure the AT&T router will let me do that.
I have seen people suggesting you might be able to, but in some cases,
harder. Several smarties on the Six Color Slack were like, "Oh, you can hack it so you don't have to use their hardware." But the hack that I saw involves an extra piece of hardware, and then so I'm reading and I'm like, "Well, I could do all this. I could do this. Maybe I'll do this." And then it gets to the end and says, and then if your power goes out, you have to do it all again. Mm-hmm. I thought, no, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to, do I keep the AT&T router around and every time the power goes out, I have to plug it back in and then do this dance with multiple things, routers and stuff. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to do that. And it maybe doesn't matter to me if that's port forwarding and stuff like that. It probably is fine. But I am going to go through that, and that's going to require that there's going to have to be a tech and they're going to have to put a thing in the wall and, you know, what's, and then I'm going to have to test that with my network. And I'm looking forward to the idea of maybe saving money and giving Comcast the boot, but I'm not looking forward to touching my network in any way because it's just going to cause pain.
Yeah. Yeah. I would, as we were, I think, spent a lot of time talking in Six Color Slack, and I've been discussing elsewhere, I would love to switch to fiber, but it is simply yeah. not present in my town, and I don't know when that will happen. So
people can look through the archives. I don't know what archives those are, but of things that I've done, and I'm sure I've mentioned before, maybe on Upgrade. I'm sure I've mentioned before, but many years ago, like when I still worked at IDG, I went to the podiatrist and got some inserts for my shoes. It's a great conversation. Shoe talk, everybody. Foot talk.
I can join in on this. I have for first.
My podiatrist is not more than a mile away from me, but across it's the other side of the freeway. We're close to the US 101 freeway here, and it may be a mile away. And he had fiber internet in his office, and I noticed, and I'm like, wait a second. How is there fiber here? And I went and I looked on their map and it went to the freeway, but it had not yet gone over the freeway.
Right.
And I had that moment of like, it's so close. It's so close. And literally it was like 6-7 years later, I got a thing from AT&T that said, ooh, fiber is in your area now. I went, well, it's been in my area a long time, but they meant it's like literally in my neighborhood. And it is apparently in my neighborhood. So, but that was painful, right? Because it was like, it's so close and there is no competition, but now there is. And in fact, the last time I thought about doing this, I wasn't ready to cut the cord yet, which I am now. And I called Comcast and the first thing I said to them is, I have AT&T fiber in my neighborhood. So, and they're like, oh, let me give you a deal. No contract. Here's our rate. And I was like, oh, like every other time I talk to Comcast, they're like, well, I can give you a promotional rate, but it'll only be for 12 months. And then you're going to have to call back. Mm-hmm, and when I said AT&T fiber is in my area, they were like, yes, sir, you can get that price just month to month. We don't care. Please don't cancel. Amazing right. what competition
I just,
will do.
I've carefully arranged my setup so I never have to call Comcast and argue about prices. Like,
I know. Well, that's the worst thing
about
the 12-month contract is that after 12 months, they're basically banking on calling them being so awful that you'll just pay a high price instead for a while until you finally why I have to call them.
I think I posted this in the Slack, but we actually have two cable companies in my town, which is unusual. And you'd think that would improve, you know, the options that you have there. But it was insane to me that I looked at this. The other one, which is RCN, offers these like great prices. Same thing. Like, 12 months and you get it's this much for, you know, a pretty good contract. Right. I'm looking at it now. It's like, you want 500 megabits? $66 a month and we'll throw in TV and everything. It's like, wow. All right. That's pretty good. And then I looked at the rate card, and I've given this tip on other shows, but Google your ISP and rate card, and I think they are legally required to provide essentially a menu, as it were, of what everything costs. And the standard prices are just bananas. Like, to get my speed on them, the regular, like, non-12-month pricing thing is $200 a month. $200 a month for 100 megabits down and 5 megabits up.
I am paying Comcast right now slightly more than that a month, but what I'm getting is all the TV channels,
right?
Unlimited data, gigabit speed.
Yes. It's just frustrating. I mean, I can go up and pay more, but it's like, really what I want at this is a better upload speed.
Yeah.
And it's just hard to get. First of all, Comcast, as I've linked to posts about this before, they make it hard to find what the upload speeds are.
Yes, they do.
And to know what plan do I need to go to get a better upload speed than what I have now. And even the better upload speed than what I have now is like 10 megabits. It's like, 10 megabits. Wow. Like, sure, I guess that's worth it, but I'm not sure it's worth the amount that I would pay to increase that. I don't know. It's so frustrating. Right. It's such a legacy of these companies having this stranglehold on the market. And, you know, in some cases, I think probably sweetheart deals they make with the municipalities to be in those spaces and, you know, run the cables and infrastructure and all that. But I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's likely to change anytime soon. So,
yeah. it's I'll report back about my experience with it, and we'll see. Actually, and I've got a whole list. I mean, I have to compile it because it was all very much like, I'd like to do this, but we're about to go away for 10 days, so I'll just put it on the list for when I come back. But my step one is actually going to be, is the experience using an over-the-top TV service acceptable to me, right? Because what I'm not going to do is dump Comcast, sign up for AT&T, get YouTube TV or Fubo, and then be like, oh no, this is terrible. I want to go back, right? So I'm not going to do that. I'm actually going to sign up for a trial for YouTube TV or Fubo or both and try them out now and see if they are acceptable. But if they are, then I will move on to step two, which is talk to AT&T, and then I'm going to get AT&T to install, and then I'm going to try out AT&T's internet and make sure that it's okay, and then I'll cancel Comcast, but not until then, right? It's a series of things. But this is, honestly, I wrote that piece about All for the Want of an Apple TV remote, where I got the Apple TV remote, and then I'm like, oh, I need a receiver that can do remote control stuff and all that, because I need to, and Dolby Atmos and all of that. And this is sort of in that vein too, which is, it would really be nice to no longer have the TiVo that doesn't, you know, is not an intelligent digital device. Almost everything we do at this point is on the Apple TV. So this will be yet another kind of change. But I honestly, there's probably, if my brain was entirely functional, I would probably write this down as a story idea. But I wonder how much, I was going to say innovation, but that's not right. I wonder how much purchase and tech change in households is driven by the All for the Want of a Nail thing. I wonder how much of what we do in our households technology wise is accretive, is like, you know, adding layers of sediment over time and building up a beaver beaver dam of tech, and how much of it is that, like, you try to keep steady state as long as you can, and then a thing happens and you're like, now we've got to, right? And it's like, oh, we got the new TV, now we need to buy a new stand for the TV, and, you know, like, and that, then it breaks apart, and how much is one and how much is the other? Because I feel like I do the additive thing a lot, but also, like, this moment has really reminded me, oh, sometimes something just, everything tries to hold steady, and then you get this one thing and you're like, oh, I need to do this. And then you think, oh, well, that means I should do this. And oh, well, and then all of a sudden everything's different.
The dependencies, basically.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Well, our house remodel was like that. When we remodeled our house, which is probably overstating what it was, in 2012, we had lived in this house for 13 years and the kitchen was terrible. And we kept trying to do little upgrades in the kitchen. And every time we looked at it, we realized the moment you started messing with the kitchen, everything unraveled to the point where we had to wait until we could fund completely gutting the kitchen. Cause like you couldn't take a piece, like you had to do the whole thing. So, you know, sometimes that happens with tech too, I guess.
Yeah, I think it also highly depends on the people, the kind of people. Like, I know a lot of people who are not, you know, tech enthusiasts, and they just muddle along with their existing setup, right? And they, and that's a different sort of, there's a different sort of nature there too, right? Because sometimes I feel like there's like a regressive version of what you're talking about, where certain things are kludgy and don't work right, but they're just like, I don't know how to fix it. And they just go, like, my dad's a great example of this, because, you know, a thing where I tried to set up like a Harmony remote for him, and it worked pretty well, but every once in a while it would get out of whack. It wouldn't work. And he's not going to fix it.
He just
like digs out the other remotes and start using them. Right. Like it's like, why? Well, 'cause it works. And it's like, it's the inverted version of that, where it's like stuff stops working. And instead of just repairing it, you're just like, no, I'll just find another way for it to work. And I'll go along to get along until it works again. And whatever, it's not a big deal. But I think people like who enjoy or technology and who spend a lot of time sort of connected to the state of the art and stuff like that, I think there's more of the nature of additive or replacingness than perhaps for other people.
I do think it happens for regular people, but I think it happens less frequently because they replace their stuff less frequently. But I do think that maybe
they get much more annoyed about it too, because I definitely hear from people who are like, oh, this thing broke, but it's worked fine for 10 years and now everything's different after I replace everything.
And I think even counterintuitively, it may be the case that the more you resist change, the more likely you're going to run into one of those catastrophic things, and where like you suddenly you change one thing. This is like people who are like, wait a second, what do you mean there's no RCA plugs on the back, no analog plugs on the back of this TV right. for me to plug in my VCR? And it's like, we don't do VCRs anymore, friend. Like, oh, sure, yeah. Do I need to buy a Laserdisc player? Nope, that's not it, right? Like, that sometimes people, because their technology has aged even further, that then when they get a new piece of technology, it's even less compatible with everything else they're doing. I don't know. I was reading a story about how officially all NTSC broadcasting in the U.S. stopped last week. There was sort of like an asterisk, and it was a fun thread because it talked about how they had to invent sort of a hybrid standard that allowed these stations that were also broadcasting on the FM band, which is so close to VHF channel 6 that they were doing these hybrid things, that they had to create a digital version of that, which is wild stuff. But the idea there that you have this old, old, old television standard that was still kicking around, you know, way longer than you'd expect. But this still happens. My Comcast cable still has a whole set of channels that are the standard def channels. Like channel mm-hmm. 2 is standard def channel 2, and channel 1002 is high def channel 2. And yep, every time I go in there and I see that, I think to myself, how long is this going to go on? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Give everybody, in fact, if somebody's still got a standard def TV, at some point you've just got to say, you get our box will output in 480. to right. you. It'll downscale it. But we're not making channels for you anymore because we've moved on. And stuff does stick around. And that's the reason that it's still there, is that home tech, especially, you've got regular people who don't buy new stuff a lot. And it lasts for a long time. But the longer it lasts, the more brittle it is. And that's where, with computers, what you see is people who are like, I've got an iMac. It's great. I've been using it for 12 years. I was like, that's awesome. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I need to buy a new iMac. What do you mean none of my old stuff works with the new iMac? It's like, the software, it's like it's 10 OSs since then, and the software is all going to have to be upgraded, and you're going to have to pay.
It has also been 12 years, yeah, just the, FYI.
your iPod will still work, but you might need an adapter for the cable. Like, it's just, there's something about that too, that's one way to live your life, is to sort of like get stuff and then just keep it forever, and that's great. But when forever ends, ooh, dramatic, you will have to replace everything, right? Because like the world will have shifted under you. And I don't know, I think that those moments are kind of fascinating when you have that, like, for me as a tech enthusiast kind of person, it was that Apple TV remote. But like the little thing that sort of leads to complete revisiting of everything in my previously stable setup. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of interesting. I have to deal with that now.
Welcome home.
I got more stuff to deal with before then, but anything else happening that we should talk about? I don't know. You tell me. you've been home longer than I have.
I have, but it has not been the busiest of weeks.
All right,
the new
beta is like you said at the beginning. New beta is some changes in Safari. I understand, because I actually haven't had a Mac with me, let alone a Mac running the beta. But it looks like the iPhone, they made some tweaks. The Mac, they made some tweaks, and they have told people. I didn't get a briefing or anything because I was on vacation. But like John Gruber said, essentially he understands from Apple that there's more to come on this, and it's very much the fact that all of us looked at the beta and we're like, this Safari thing doesn't make sense, and that they are making changes. I saw a tweet that I liked from Walt Mossberg where he said, you know, people, for people who are enthusiastic about new technology, they're also strangely conservative about how they deal with change. And it's like human nature to deal with change. But what I said to Walt, I replied to him and I said, you, as a product reviewer and writer about new tech, we always have to be open-minded and be like, why did they make this change? What are they trying to do here? But at the same time, you also can't just accept that just because it's change, it's good. Change isn't fundamentally good or bad, but it can be either. And just when I thought about Safari 15, and tried to understand what their purpose was in doing it and what all the trade-offs were, you know, I came to the conclusion that a lot of people came to, which is like, it's just not working. It doesn't work right. And it seems like even within Apple, they're like, we don't know about this. Let's put it out there and see what happens.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting to see. They've already walked it back a little bit more than I thought they would. The Mac one is the weirdest because they kind of glued on the old interface to the new interface, and it looks like, no, that's worse. It looks worse. It works better. We'll put it that way.
I put down money that it was, and the iPad one didn't get done at all. And it feels very much like, quick, get something out to show you we're committed to.
Well, the iPad one, in Dev 3, the iPad one, like, I mentioned this, I think, like, there's a reload button in the address bar, and the share button is now back in the toolbar, but the reload button in the address bar is kind of buggy. Like, I noticed it didn't show up all the time, but sometimes when I reload it, like, oh, now there's a reload button back in the address bar like there used to be, and then it would go away again. I was like, yeah, that's just a bug, I think it's supposed to be there, but it doesn't solve all of the problems. It's just, and they're not going to, right? Like, people who are saying they should just roll it back to the way it was, I don't see that happening. I see maybe them finding a way to navigate that and trying to get sort of the best of both, but I don't think it's just going to simply go back to the way it used to look. I feel like they are a little too deep into it.
No,
and it is,
well, tab groups alone, like, they do need to figure out tab groups and, like, how they display tab groups and all that. I have a new complaint about tab groups, which is, I like tab groups. I would like to not have I don't like the distinction between the group of tabs that's not in a tab group and all the tab groups. I would rather have, like, a top tab group, and when I click a link, I would like it to open in the tab group that's active, and instead it keeps pushing links into the not a tab group.
Interesting.
And I don't like that idea. It's like, well, wait a second. If I'm going to use tab groups, I want everything in tab groups. Why would I have a not tab group group?
And I have a similar issue where it's like, if I'm in a tab group and I don't realize what tab group I'm in, and I open a different page that's not related to that tab group, and then I switch away and I come back to that tab group in another device, I'm like, oh, yes, all the pages that should belong in this tab group. Also, this random page that I opened on a different device like 2 days ago. It's like, well, I understand that you want them to be mutable to a certain degree, but also I think that is confusing because it kind of, depending on if you're not very rigorous about it, it gets out of hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll watch it, right? That's all we can do.
I think there is, this beta process overall this year may be much more variable, active. I don't know what the right word is, but sometimes, like we said, sometimes nothing changes, right? Or very little changes from beta to beta or from beta to eventual release. Sometimes a lot changes. And it's starting to feel like this is going to be a year where, at least where Safari is concerned, there's a lot of tweaking happening.
There's a cat here now. Did you know I had cats? I forgot all about it, but apparently there are cats who live in my house.
Weird. Are they feral now?
No, they're not. They're the same as, although they did hide when we came home. They were afraid, like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. But then I realized it was just those people again. Ah. Those people again, like us, you and me. Here we are again. And we'll be back next Friday, believe it or not, for, I assume, Friday. You know, and you never know. Kalandar, our master, could tell us what to do. And in fact, you know what? Maybe we won't be back next Friday. Maybe it'll be earlier. Maybe it'll be a different day. I might have to go somewhere next weekend. Boy. Well, it's summer. Lots going on. But we will be back regardless, is what I'm saying. Who knows what network I'll be on then, too. All worth thinking about. But until then, I'm going to get more tea from my tea robot because I need to wake up. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.